Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Woo! Welcome to the Metron Live podcast. If you're listening to this on your device, I pray and decree that you will feel the spirit that we're already feeling in this place today. I know I'm feeling it. I believe the people in this room are feeling it. Metron people, give the podcast people a welcome. My title this month is It's a Wonderful Life, Freeing Yourself from the Ghost of Christmas Past, Follow Your Star into the Future. And I'm talking about, I know. I'm talking about how all of these Christmas characters, and I'll get to Jesus next weekend, next Sunday. I've saved the best for last, so don't worry if you wondered if we were going to Bethlehem. Yes, we're not just staying in Bedford Falls. We will go to Bethlehem as well. I remember Jesus. Jesus and me are just like that. He personally told me he loves what I'm doing right now. I think what I heard is, finally somebody gets it. Anyway, there's too many people worshiping the cross, and he's like, hello, over here. We're talking about how Christmas music comes back every year. That's why I've noticed a lot of these artists are on their second Christmas album. Well, you were talking about Idina Menzel's. I didn't know she made a first one. So she's got a second one. So, and it's because when you make a Christmas album, you're guaranteed play. I mean, they're going to play. I think Sirius Music's got 5 full 24-hour channels of nothing but Christmas music. So it's, you know, commercially, it's a smart move to make a Christmas album because you're just, every year, they're going to bring your stuff back. And all of those writers make money. You know, he passed on now a couple years ago, but Mel Tremé wrote the Christmas song, Chestnuts. So every time somebody covers those songs, those writers get they get compensated for it, which is awesome. And I felt it, Jonah, when you said I want to do a couple songs I've written and there's a video on it. I mean, it's great what you're doing with Mateel, and that's awesome, and you know, but there's a whole solo career that you will have. It's not exclusive to her. I'm very grateful for what her band has opened up for you, but you haven't even gotten to your good stuff yet. There's so much more in you that you don't even know is there yet. I've always known that. I'm telling you. There's so many Christmas miracles happen. Oh, what I was going to say earlier, podcast people, check out a minute. I was talking about a million little miracles. I was talking about all the synchronicities. These are just little things, but I was, Tuesday night, I'm wearing a shirt. It's got French cuffs, and I thought, I got to get French cuffs. I want some Christmas cufflinks. I couldn't find them. I can't tell you the stores I went to. And like one place I said, do y'all have any Christmas cufflinks? And it's like I had asked for, do y'all have LSD? I mean, it's like I thought, they were looking at me like, we never heard of such a thing. So it was kind of that way. It was like, I'm sure this isn't that unreasonable. And the first place I had gone, I live close to Atlantic Station. So my first stop before I get into the traffic for Lenox Square, I'll stop at Dillard's because that's just literally a stone's throw from my house. And I'd gone there first, and look, they had nothing. And why did we go? It was something we were going there yesterday. We were looking for something. Oh yeah, Ken needed a shirt for Tuesday night. So I said, well, let's just go to Dillard's. If we can't find it there, we'll, you know, that's the next step is Lenox, but. Let's just go there. So I went back to the same counter that I'd been at, and there's these beautiful Santa hat cufflinks that are right there on top. And I asked the lady that was waiting on Ken, I said, when did y'all get these? I said, I came looking for Christmas cufflinks. She said, I just put them in today. And I was like, I know you're like, no, that's not a miracle. Fine. You live in your sad little depressing miracle-free life. That's fine, Ebenezer Scrooge. That's fine, Mr. Potter, if you want to believe. But I'm telling you, when I saw, they were right there on top. I mean, I nearly didn't even go over to the counter to look at them because I thought, I've already been to this counter and I've looked at everything in there. There's nothing there. And there they were. And it was just like all day yesterday was like that. Like we were going to pick up some things for the house. And Ken said, I've got a couple of gift certificates people have given me to Lowe's. And one was for $50, one was for $25. I said, well, okay, let's go. So we just went, and it was really cool because there was lots of things that I didn't realize we needed, but we're walking around. I said, well, we got a gift certificate. We got a whole, and it was like it was like $2 short of what it was. And it was just like, that's so cool. This is stuff I really needed, didn't realize I needed, but it was like free stuff. It was like, I don't think I've ever had so much fun at Lowe's. Because I was like, well, we've probably got another 20 bucks in here. What do we need? And he said, well, let's get some Downy. And we got the big thing, you know, of it. And I don't know. It was just really, I loved it. And it would have been fine if it had been $80 and we had to add to it. It's just that if we'd gotten those two Snickers bars, that were right, they would have been right to $75. But we got to watch that stuff. We've been having too big a time lately. But anyway, I know podcast people are like, what are you talking about? Well, you should have been here. All right. Now back to what I'm talking about. I knew there was some reason I was bringing up a million little miracles. I'm telling you, I think you posted something about this morning about gratitude as a magnet for more. I'm telling you, the more you talk up the good stuff, the more you attract the good stuff. And it's you, and you'll start noticing it everywhere. You'll start. As a matter of fact, you know what she said? They weren't like really high dollar, were super expensive, but they were, you know, they cost a little something. And I said, how much are these cufflinks? And she said, for you. And she actually cut me a deal. She says, well, for you, I'm going to. So even just that, it was just like, synchronicity, 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 hello, 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 life, you know. What? Who are haters? I think so. And the more you talk about it, the more, you know, it's like, it just happens all the time. I don't know if people just aren't seeing it. Francis said it's like a password. That's exactly right. It's like putting the key in the lock. Ka-chink. Ah, there it is. Look, God doesn't love one person more than he loves somebody else. There's no such thing as luck. There's no reason for you getting, you got to know the password. There's no point in you being jealous of somebody else. Why does good stuff always happen to you? Like I remember before I roomed with Howie, my first roommate in college, one day he said to me, he said, you're special. You know it. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you're special. I said, what are you talking about? He said, good stuff always happens to you. He said, that's why you believe the word like you believe. I said, well, no, you got the cart before the horse. Good stuff has me because I believe. And now you just believe because you're special. And he was not complimenting me. He's like, you're special and good stuff always happens to you. I'm like, well, okay then. What can I tell you? So I need to get on this because I've got a lot to tell you today. If I could stop playing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, teach. So anyway, we've talked about Little Drummer Boy. We've talked about Rudolph. Today I want to talk about the Christmas classic, Christmas Carol. Let me show you from Wikipedia. The full title of it was A Christmas Carol in Prose, Being a Ghost Story of Christmas. But it's commonly known as A Christmas Carol. It's a novella by Charles Dickens, first published in London by Chapman and Hall in 1843 and illustrated by John Leech. A Christmas Carol recounts the story of Ebenezer Scrooge, an elderly miser who is visited by the ghost of his former business partner, Jacob Marley, and the spirits of Christmas past, present, and yet to come. After their visit, Scrooge is transformed into a kinder, gentler man. Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol during a period when the British were exploring and re-evaluating past Christmas traditions, including carols and newer customs such as Christmas trees. He was influenced by the experiences of his own youth and by the Christmas stories of other authors, including Washington Irving and Douglas Jerrold. Dickens had written three Christmas stories prior to the novella and was inspired following a visit to the Field Lane Ragged School, one of several establishments for London's street children. The treatment of the poor and the ability of a selfish man to redeem himself by transforming into a more sympathetic character are the key themes of the story. There is discussion among academics as to whether this was a fully secular story or if it is a Christian allegory. A Christmas Carol captured the zeitgeist. If you don't know what zeitgeist is, that's a German word. It means spirit of the age. Like he picked up the trend, the feeling, the vibe, what the people were, like what was their corporate mindset at that time. Of the mid-Victorian revival of the Christmas holiday. Dickens had acknowledged the influence of the modern Western observance of Christmas and later inspired several aspects of Christmas, including family gathering, seasonal food and drink, dancing, games, and a festive generosity of spirit. Meaning that what we have now as Christmas is not what people used to have. You know, traditionally, people used to just put up a Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. You put it up on Christmas Eve, you decorated it, you took it down the next day. That was like part of the tradition of that night. Now, people put them up earlier. I know people that leave them up all year long. And if you got several trees in your house and there's a lot to decorate, you might as well. Like Mom has a tree that we keep just covered in the basement, so we can just bring it up from the basement. And we've been meaning to bring it up, but he hasn't been there, and I can't do it by myself. And, you know, Dad can't help me. So we're going to take it up tonight. And I said, I feel like we just took it down. You know, I can't believe. And there's no point saying it because time's going really fast, but it seems like we just did it. And I've got, you know, my Atlanta tree up this year, and many of you have contributed to that, and thank you. It's very special to me. But let me get into this because there's a lot I need to say. But before I show you this scripture, there's a lot of versions of Christmas Carol, and I wanted to watch one of them last night. I actually wanted to see it on stage this year, and I just couldn't work out the time of it. So I watched the 1938 version of it last night, and it's really a powerful story, and it's something that everybody, you know, one reason everybody can relate to it is because everybody's aging, and there's something about this story that really rings true with me. Whatever is in your personality gets more extreme as you get older, which is why you need to take care of your business now while you can. Because if you're mean, you're going to be a really mean elderly person. I'm telling you, it's like the way alcohol amplifies somebody's personality, age does it even more. Like if you're kind of a scared, paranoid person, you're going to be real scared when you get older. It's like everything. If you're kind of happy-go-lucky and enjoy, you're going to get real happy as you get older. If you have a lot of anxiety, you're going to have a lot of anxiety as you get older. If you're a depressive, you're going to be real depressed. If you're going to get stingy, you're going to get stingier. If you're generous, you're going to get. I'm telling you, you become a more extreme version of yourself the longer you live. And that's why at my age, I'm trying to think about it like, is this what you want to do? You want to take this into your 70s and into your 80s and into your 90s? Because it's going to get more pronounced. And I'm telling you, that's a great common denominator, because ain't one of us in here that's getting any younger. I can talk about some things you might not relate to, but you can relate to aging, because we all on that journey. That's why when somebody says he's a mean drunk, no, he's just mean. the alcohol removed his filter. Because there's some people that get drunk and they fall in love with everybody. Yeah, you go to a bar and a drunk, I love you, man. It's because that's they're a really loving person, and now the filters are removed. Because the thing is, everybody's wanting to be revealed. I was thinking about the scripture this week where in Romans 8 he says the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You think about all the natural disasters on our planet and everything. Wow, the earth's really wanting something to happen. And he didn't say the coming of the Lord. He said the manifestation of the sons of God. And I was thinking about this week. Every person wants to be revealed. Even people who think they don't want to be, people still tell you who they are, even if they don't realize they're telling you who they are. Like when Maya Angelou says, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them. Because sometimes people don't realize they're giving themselves away. I was thinking about this, I was talking to my cousin this week about how people use disclaimers. It's like, I don't get this now, but when I used to get a lot of hate mail, it would begin with, it's not my place to judge you. And then they would go into 5 pages of judgment. It's like, oh, so if you say, it's not my place to judge you, then you're free just to say, because, you know, a good letter would just be, it's not my place to judge you, sincerely. So, like, now that's a good letter. Or it's like somebody, you know, complains to you for an hour and then goes, but I don't want to complain. Well, you just did. I mean, for an hour, you just complained. So now you can say, but I don't want to complain. Oh, that's the disclaimer. Or people can say, if somebody ever tells you, I'm just saying this in love, run. Because you're about to be olayed. Because the very fact that they have to preface it by saying, I'm saying this in love, means they don't really love you. Was that original? Jackie just said, if there's a but, it means they're fixing to show it. That's good. That's going to be the title. That's the title of my next series. But you're right. Because if it's somebody that loves you, they'll just you're comfortable enough with them, they can just tell you the truth, and they don't have to say, I'm just saying this in love. Or somebody can say all kind of stuff and then go, I'm just saying. Well, no, you said it. There's no such thing as I'm just saying. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. He said, anything that is beyond a yes and a no, he said, that's where all evil comes from. He didn't say it comes from a devil. He said it all comes from indecisiveness, people not saying yes or no. What? So, I'm watching this last night, and I don't know the name of the act. The guy that Barrymore, Lionel Barrymore, was supposed to have played Scrooge. He's the guy that played Mr. Potter about 10 years later in It's a Wonderful Life. And if you see him, you know, in It's a Wonderful Life, he was in a wheelchair. Well, he actually was in real life. He had a degenerative disease, and you can see in his early films, he was walking with a cane, and then finally, like around the late 40s, he was in a wheelchair, or would always be sitting down. So he was too ill to play, and it was some British actor that played, and he did a good job. And so kind of when Capra cast him as Mr. Potter in It's a Wonderful Life, it was sort of a nod to the Scrooge character. Like, here's a chance for you to play this guy. And he could really play a bad guy. You know, he's Drew Barrymore's great uncle. The John Barrymore, Ethel Barrymore, Lionel Barrymore, they were like the royalty of Hollywood. And she, if you look, she actually looks a lot like them. She's got the same facial structure and everything. But anyway, it's nothing to do with my teaching, but it's what I do. I'm a continual backstory. Although, as it turns out, I don't know everything. Last week, I was talking to Christina about watching The Crown, and I was saying how much I love Helena Bonham Carter, because she's playing Princess Margaret. And she says, yeah, I love her. She's Tim Burton's wife. I said, she's married to Tim Burton? She says, you didn't know that? I said, if I did, I forgot it. She said, oh, my God. I knew something you didn't know. She says, can we write this down? She says, I've never in my life been able to tell you something that you not only didn't already know, but you knew more of it and came back with even more. I said, I guess I knew it, but I don't remember. I didn't know it. Which, by the way, speaking of Tim Burton, you know they're doing a Beetlejuice 2 in 20, and it's going to have all the original people in it. Yeah, I saw this. It's really cool. That was his brainchild. But anyway, stay on task. Somebody give me some Ritalin. All right. I've got to focus. All right. The reason I want to show you the scripture, because I was watching this elderly man. I guess he was elderly. He was made up to look elderly. And, you know, the Christmas Carol story begins with Scrooge being alone and hating Christmas and hating his, I don't know if he hated his life or if he was aware that he hated his life, but just a miserable guy. And it opens up with these people coming to the door asking for a contribution for Christmas and his whole bah humbug things, you know. And the whole point of the movie is to show this is the reason why this man is like he is. And I want to show you, this is out of Isaiah 61. This was Isaiah's prophecy where he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and Jesus gets up in Luke chapter 4 and speaks it. Usually people don't get down to verse 4 here, but let me show you. This is from the Amplified Classic. I'm going to show you 1, 2, and 3, but then I'm also show you 4. All right, here's the verses in Isaiah 61. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek and the poor and the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and the eyes of those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of his favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant or consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament, a garland of diadem of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment expressive of praise instead of a heavy burdened and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, and magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God and the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now, verse 4, you always hear verse 3. I mean, like on my album, It's the Anointing, I quoted this. And, you know, they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. But then in verse 4, he says, and they shall rebuild the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations and renew the ruined city, the devastations of many generations. So what he's saying is the anointing is to do something. When somebody says they're anointed, it means they're empowered to a specific task. So when Jesus gets up, you know, this is when they tried to kill him. Remember, he stands up in the temple and he reads from Isaiah's prophecy and he rolls up the scroll and it says everybody's just staring at him and he says, this day this prophecy is fulfilled in your ears. And that's when they, you know, they tried to kill him and he walked through the crowd. It's one of my favorite stories in the Gospels. But what he's saying here is the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to help captives. But then verse 4 says, and it's to figure out why they're captives in the first place. Verse 4 entirely changes the trajectory of this prophecy. Because your present is totally being affected by your past. And I'm going to go real cosmic with you here. It totally is being affected by your future. Last night, after I pulled myself together from my conversation with Howie, I called Avery because she was apologetic. Because she says, I feel like I misunderstood the thing about the release date for your digital download. I said, no. Not only did you, even if it was a mistake, it actually turned out better. I like it better this way because it gives me a reason to keep advertising it. Like today it's on iTunes. Today it's on, you know, it kind of gives it a shelf life. And I said, even though I don't really sound like that now. And she says, well, the first time I ever heard you, I knew you were ahead of your time. So she said, because I feel like I'm ahead of my time. I said, well, I think you'll understand what I mean by this. We met somewhere before we got here, and we're going to meet somewhere that we don't even know about yet. Thank you. Sister, don't you bring Ecclesiastes 3 in here, or I'm going to drop this mic. No, you're right. And that's exactly what he says in To Everything There Is a Season. Not only has he made everything perfect in his time, so the history repeats itself. I'm going to speak the rest of this in tongues, and y'all can interpret it. All right. Let me show you this. This is a quote by Dickens. And Dickens, you know, he was a great writer. He's pre-Civil War, British guy. He wrote Tale of Two Cities and Oliver Twist, which the musical Oliver was based on. He really captured 19th century England and some of its problems. And he was really, when you read some of his quotes, he's really very evolved man. But he says, I've always thought of Christmas time when it has come round as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable time. The only time I know of in the long calendar of the year when men and women seem by consent to open their shut-up hearts freely and to think of people below them as if they really were fellow passengers to the grave and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. this week I've got a distant cousin who posted this, and this was funny. It was I don't know if she knew this woman or not, but this woman had posted a video. She's doing it from her car, and she's laughing so hard, you're already laughing before you know what she's going to say. And she's telling a story about, like, kind of like a pay-it-forward thing. And she said, I just came out of the store, and the woman behind me had just a bottle of ginger ale. And she said, I said to her, is that all you have? She said, yes. She said, well, I got you. Let me pay for it. The woman said, you don't have to pay for it. She said, no, no, it's Christmas, and it's the best time of year. And so she paid for the woman's ginger ale, and everybody in line was good. Oh, I love this time of year when everybody's doing special stuff like this. So she said, I was walking out, and I was just so full of, you know, she said, I wish I could afford to do more than that, but that's all I could afford, but I was glad I could do something. And I'm thinking about, oh, wow, everybody's there for each other. And she said, and I'm just so, you know, I'm already emotional. I walked to my car, and there is a man washing my windshield. And she said, I just burst into tears, and I hugged him. I said, oh, my God, this is the most wonderful time of the year when people just do stuff like this, you know, and they want to help out. And she said, I noticed he was looking at me really odd until I stepped back and realized it wasn't my car. So the guy's like, I don't know why you're so happy that I'm washing off my windshield. She said, I just got in the car and started screaming, laughing. She said, I was so caught up in the moment. I was like, it's the most wonderful time of the... But in some way, it is that way. I mean, I've noticed several checkout lines, you know, there seems to be goodwill. And people, like, I've just noticed it. Like, you know, if somebody's short a dollar, someone's like, I got you, or here's some change, or, you know. Yeah. And so anyway, that's what he was saying. And that's part of the point of A Christmas Carol is to... for people who have something, just to be aware there are other people that don't have what you have. It doesn't mean that everybody's your responsibility. It's not a communist manifesto. It's just saying, just be aware. You can't fix everybody's situation, but you can be aware. Because the whole thing is, he's got this guy, Bob Cratchit, that works for him, who has a disabled son. And the guy's having to work on Christmas Eve, and you know, he's completely indifferent to the plight, and when the ghost of Christmas present appears to him, and you can see his humanity coming through. He said, "Please tell me, Tiny Tim didn't die." And he said, "Well, yeah, that's what happened." And you can see it starts breaking through, like, "Oh my God, these are people close to me who have a you know, difficult situation, and I'm starting to feel something." Like the Karen Walker character on Will and Grace, like if her character ever starts feeling something, like feeling, she's like, I'm feeling compassion. And like she goes and drink, like, because she doesn't, what is this? I feel like a human being. That's kind of what starts happening to Scrooge. And it was kind of, I noticed in the performance last night, I was watching the movie, after Scrooge has his epiphany, he comes to Bob Cratchit's house, you know, when he brings all the stuff. And it was just a little, I don't know if the director made him do this, but when the actor who's playing Bob Cratchit opens the door and he sees Scrooge, he literally lurches back. It's like, oh my God, this can't be good. You know how that, you know that, you got that person in your life that every time you see their name come up on the thing, you're like, this can't be good news. there's never a happy voice on the other end of this phone. Anyway, let me show you this quote, Kevin Michelle. Small shifts in your thinking and small changes in your energy can lead to massive alterations in your end result. The reason I wanted to use this is so many of these Christmas stories are about a paradigm shift. The Grinch changes his paradigm of Christmas because of Whoville. Charlie Brown changes his paradigm. Clearly, this one does. I mean, if you notice that, even if it's not called a Christian story, there is the story of a new birth in all of the Christmas stories. It's just the thread that's in all of them. Like, I thought this way, and then Christmas changed my, you know, my thought processes. Oh, definitely. Thank you. I knew there was another one. Yes. Probably the best one. It's a Wonderful Life. Yes. Where he has a, yes. I knew there was like, what's the other one? Yeah, I've heard of that movie. I don't go to many movies, clearly. Good Lord. What's the other one? Like, oh yeah, It's a Wonderful Life. Definitely. George Bailey has a complete, and I mentioned this in just a moment, I'm going to quote myself here. It turns out I'm one of my favorite writers. Here I am. I don't know if you've heard of this guy. I didn't like him at first, but the more I've read his stuff, he's kind of grown on me. This was from my meditation earlier this week. Dr. Wayne Dyer's famous quote, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, is absolutely true. It's been proven in the world of quantum physics and is explained as the observer effect. Jesus said, unless a person changes his or her mind, and that's the Greek word metaneo, which is translated repentance, unless a person changes his mind, he or she cannot enter the kingdom of God. And ideally, the Christmas season is all about changing the way we look at things. That's why, before I read the rest of this, that's why I hate when somebody says, are you ready for Christmas? I'm like, no. I'm not. The way people say it, I'm like, why are you so stressed out over it? Look, you have your own boundaries. If you, you know, nobody has any problem if you say, look, I can't do Christmas as big this year. I mean, even, you know, I'm looking at, you know, the cash I give out every year, I'm like, I don't know, I might need to rein it in just a little bit, you know, this year. But I mean, but it doesn't mean it's going to be a bad Christmas. It just means like, well, I need to watch some things. It's fine. But I hate when somebody says, I can't believe it's here again. I'm like, well, we're so sorry. We imposed joy and peace on earth and goodwill toward people on you. Your sad little Ebenezer Scrooge life. I wanted to say Scrooge you, but that sounds inappropriate. My quote continues, you don't have to jump off of a bridge and have Clarence the Angel jump into the icy water after you to save you and to show you that you've really had a wonderful life. You can realize it right now and change your present by changing the way you look at your past. You don't have to have three ghosts visit you in the middle of the night to scare the bejesus out of you and cause you to have a completely transformational paradigm shift about life, about money, about relationships, and about yourself. You can have that paradigm shift right now, right here, in the light of day, and enjoy the season for what it is. You don't have to steal Christmas from the people of Whoville only to realize that Christmas is something more and then have your heart grow three sizes bigger. You can look at someone differently and experience rapid heart growth right now. You don't have to witness a massive angelic choir serenading shepherds out in the middle of nowhere in the dead of night for no apparent reason. You can embrace the concept of peace on earth, goodwill to the people in your own relationships right now, right where you are. You don't have to wait for Eastern magician astrologers to be led by celestial light to a foreign country to worship an infant king. You can follow your own star right now into another dimension and worship your God in your own way. Today is a great day to connect with the nexus for the visible and invisible realms where a virgin can somehow conceive, and inexplicably the Word can actually be made flesh and dwell among us. Today is a great day to allow Him to appear and to allow your soul to feel its worth. You need a little Christmas right this very minute. You need a little Christmas now. And that's why I'm so glad that it comes every year, because it makes you deal with these things. You know, people say Christmas is for children. Look, not everybody had a wonderful childhood. So what Christmas makes you do is look at it and resolve your issues. Because if you're missing out on adulthood because of your unresolved childhood traumas, somebody needs to kick you in the pants and say, you're missing your life. You're so preoccupied by your past that you're missing your present. And Christmas, like, I've reached a place now where I'm able to compartmentalize and it's not that I don't recognize there are negative things that have happened in my life, things that I wish I had done differently in my own parenting. It doesn't mean I'm a bad parent. It doesn't mean I had a horrible childhood. It just means that, yes, I can look at some things and think, yeah, I should have handled that better, and I've learned from it. And so it's not the end of the world. I mean, I'm beautifully imperfect. It's okay. And I don't know. It's awesome. Even, you know, my loft is small. It's one of the smaller units, but it's got the best view. And that's why I bought it years ago, because I loved that view. So recently I've been able to go into a couple of other people's units, because we're kind of meeting people. And like, people have got some real, I mean, they've spent some money in there. I was like, wow, this place. I mean, I was actually starting to feel like, I don't know if I can invite them over to my place, because my place doesn't look like their place. I mean, their place is like, I'm kind of intimidated a little bit. And I had to sort of look at it and rethink it, like, no, your place is fantastic with all of your big movie posters and all your bright colors. This is what you like. I like this stuff. This is what makes me happy. So theirs looks like their personality. I like to sit in my chair and watch TV, and there's a big poster of Warren Beatty on the wall. That makes me happy. Not current, you know, 1960s Warren Beatty. It's a black and white photo of him tying his tie, and it's just like, I just love it. It's good. It was a little before shampoo, but it's when he still looked like that. I got him right in front of my chair. Right next to Lex Barker, who was the best looking Tarzan. Johnny Weissmuller was the better Tarzan, but Lex Barker looked better. And he's right there, Tarzan the Slave Girl. What's up, Lex? It wouldn't be your choice, but it's mine. So when can we come over? I got a good one of Clint Eastwood, too. I have some ladies, too. I got Marilyn Monroe, and I got, what's her name? The original Platinum Blonde. Jean Harlow. I got her. Patrick gave me that. Patrick, years ago when I first bought the loft. I've had it all these years. Anyway, lots of movies, stuff. But that's what I like. And I thought, you know, because we were talking about it, I said, we should have some people over. And one thing we did, you can stereotype people like us, that we're great entertainers. Us, not so much. We don't have the right, we just didn't get that gene. You know what I mean? Like, we know, we have other friends that they really got it together with the, us, did y'all, not, we didn't either. Really, it was the funniest thing I ever heard. But there is a stereotype that certain types of people are great entertainers. Not necessarily. And one of his clients gave us a big thing of wine, like a big case of wine. And he said, well, we got plenty of wine. I said, no, but we don't even have like the right kind of glasses or anything. But I thought, you know what? If I do have people over, I'm not apologizing. I'm going to be like, this is my place. And that's Warren Beatty and Lex Barker right there on my wall. jealous, you know. That everybody, you get a bottle, you get a bottle. All right. How did I get off on that? What was my point? Oh, about Christmas makes you deal with your stuff. It makes you, it's like every calendar year when it rolls around, it's another chance for you to get some stuff right and to realize, yeah, not everything's perfect, but everything's good. Like, could I spend some more money on my unit? Could I get, you know, could I change those countertops? Could I do that? Whatever. Yeah, I could. Maybe I will. But I don't, even if I don't, it's fantastic just like it is. And to be able to say that, to say Friday was cold and gray and rainy, and it was Friday the 13th, and it was amazing. You know, that's even why I've, I saw it at Lake Chattooga, huh? Oh, yeah. There was something, this was like a, you know, Proverbs says a word in season. Because it's not even a beautiful shot of Atlanta. That's what I loved about it. Because there's, like, I follow some of these guys on Instagram that do shots of the Atlanta skyline with drones, and they're fantastic. I mean, I share a lot of them. They're beautiful. I love this because that's just right over there by Cabbage Town. Cold, rainy day in December. Just gray. Look how beautiful it is. That, thank you. That's the point. I've referred this before, but I will say it again since we brought this up. The play Our Town, if you ever saw it or did it in high school. Remember in the play, there's a scene, it's kind of a surrealist play. Surrealistic. And there's a scene where the heroine of the movie dies. And they're showing her graveside. Like, all these people are standing with umbrellas around looking at the grave. And so in the play, she walks from the living over to the dead. And so the dead are all standing over here looking at the living. And she's looking at all of them and she says, "Oh, I didn't realize I took life." I'm not quoting it right. It's like, "I took it for granted," or whatever. She said, "I wish I could just go back. Even if I could just go back for one day." And they said, "Well, you can go back. It's a little known secret, but you're allowed to go back one day. You get to choose whichever day you want to go and relive." And she says, "Oh, I want to do that." She said, "What should I do? Would it be my wedding day? Would it be the day my first child was born, or whatever?" And they said, "No, pick the most uneventful, most boring, blah day. Because even then, you'll be so overwhelmed at how awesome life was. You couldn't even bear a big day, like a wedding day or something. Go, just pick that day. Because even that day, you'll just be like, oh my God, I didn't even realize how wonderful it was." I'm telling you, I think I'm realizing it. I really do. I mean, yeah, all we did yesterday is we went to see that Richard Jewell movie Friday night, and it was because it was made in my neighborhood, and it was good. You know, Clint Eastwood directed it, and he was in the next theater over here while he was doing it. That was the day that Ken saw him out there, and he wouldn't speak to him, but he saw him. But yesterday, all we did, we just ran errands yesterday. You know, we went and picked up stuff or whatever. But it was just like, it was a great day. There was no deadline. I just loved it. Like, you know, he said, "Hey, I got a coupon at Bed Bath & Beyond. They got, you know, some $5 soaps." It was like, well, heck yeah, we're going. And he's standing in a big old long line. I said, "I'm going to sit out on the bench out here while you get sick," because that's a long line. Then he came walking out. "Where do you want to go now?" I just added on the parking app. I just got us another hour. We can walk around. And we did. And last night, I said, "I just really enjoyed today. Today was just like walking around Lowe's using those gift cards. It was like, it's like we won the lottery." And that's the amazing thing. It's like the more grateful you become, you get excited over like really just little things. It has to be. Well, if you know how to age properly. And that's the whole, that's my whole point of the Scrooge thing is like, if you don't learn some gratitude now, in a decade from now, if you're still here, you're going to be a jerk. You're going to, there'll be no living with you. Because if you can't appreciate stuff now, you're going to be really bitter when you get elderly. It's awesome. I'm telling you, it was awesome. We had that money. We could have afforded to buy those things. But it was just like, oh, we've got $75. Okay. And we looked at stuff. And I like that wreath, but not enough. And then we walked. And then I said, well, let's go back and look at it again. Somebody already bought it. I said, you know what? Good, because I didn't like it that much. But even that was like, yay. I'm glad I didn't buy a wreath I didn't really like all that much. But if you don't see that stuff, if you don't see that, I'm telling you, if you don't see the beauty of that, I know this sounds crazy, but you have to get to a point where I can show you that and you go, oh my God, where was that? Oh, it's an intersection of, what is that? Moreland Boulevard and, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's right where his, Eddie's shop, Blueprint shop is. Right. Yeah. A rainy Friday the 13th. It's just like, oh, wow. What a beautiful day. Yes. What Ken just said, and Ken's a photographer, he said, the even way the pictures could be. Yeah. He said even the stop sign says stop and look at it. That's very, Eddie, that's very prophetic. And it's like at a crossroads. What? Yes. Yes, sir. That would be the observer effect. You can make a Christmas card out of that. You get it? You know, the more you look at it, yes. 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 Talk about a paradigm shift. And I'm telling you, not everybody gets this. Some people would hear me say this and think, that's crazy. They would say, bah humbug. All right. Let me move on. Good Lord. Whew. What Doc just said is, the quote is, you fail to see what's outside of you if you don't see what's inside of you. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. That's why until you can learn, Paul said I had to learn it. He said, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. He said, I had to learn. He said, I didn't get it by revelation. He said, I've been rich, I've been poor, I found out I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, but I didn't know it till I'd had good times and bad times. And then I just realized, oh, it's just life. And I'm okay. I learned it. But not everybody learns it. I'm really sad for elderly people that didn't learn it. You know, when I see people who are bitter and I'm like, oh crap, you didn't learn your stuff. You're supposed to. You're supposed to be here until you love your life. You're supposed to be here until you love your life and just love all of it. And it doesn't mean it's all wonderful. It just means that you love it all. You know, I am sure, like we're going to New York this week, I'm sure it will be overcrowded. I'm sure it will be. I'm sure it will be. That's not why we're going. We're not seeing the crowd. When people go, oh, you couldn't pay me to get in that kind of crowd. Well, then don't get in the crowd. For us, we're like, well, yeah, it's a crowd because it's amazing and everybody wants to see it. It's New York. Thank you. If there was no crowd, it would be like, what the heck happened? Right, exactly. All right, in Genesis 28, this is verse 16 and 17 in the Message. It's one of my favorite scriptures. This is the story of Jacob with the ladder or the stairway into heaven. It says, Jacob woke up from his sleep and he said, God is in this place, truly. And I didn't even know it. He was terrified. He whispered in awe, incredible, wonderful, holy. This is God's house. This is the gate of heaven. And notice, he didn't think that when he went. He's sleeping on a pile of rocks. Yes, and he wakes up after he has this dream of the gate of heaven. And he's like, oh, I don't have to go somewhere else. That's why, are there streets of gold? Sure, look, if there's streets of gold, okay, yay, that's cool. I'll be, you know, in heaven, go, let me get a picture on these golden streets. No, tilt it up this way. Tilt it up this way so I can see the goal. I want to see the goal. If that's, you know, if not, I'd be like, okay. Can I really rock your world? And I've seen a couple of your posts about being on the beach with your granddaughter. If they told me this was all there is. Yes. You don't have to hate this to love that. And if there's that, fine. Well, and that was before I even met you. That's when I first bonded with Frances, because she wrote that. I'd never even met her. And she wrote, she said, what if this was heaven? What if this is all it is? I'm okay with that. I was like, all right, that woman knows something. For people say, I just wanna sing about going to heaven. I'm like, you didn't learn your stuff. Seated with him in heavenly places, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, exactly. So in all the times I've taught this over the years, I've never noticed this quote. And I had to check it to make sure it actually says it, but I've found it in several sources. Ebenezer Scrooge says, I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. Now this is huge. People, there's some things that have happened to you. It's unrealistic to say, oh, just forget it and get over it. No, you've got to carry it with you. You've got to resolve it. You've got to figure out what to do with it. You know, sometimes I quote stuff about forget the past, but there's only so much of it you can forget. So you have to figure out a way to process it. Is I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I mean, that's amazing. Because the spirits didn't say forget your past. It was figure out why all of this happened in your life. And let it make you the person that you're supposed to be. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. You know, let's all stand. Oh, today? Oh, okay. I want to talk for another hour. I got the Holy Ghost all over me all weekend. Doc and Francis have gifts for everyone, so they'll be at the door. That's what they wanted to do for you, so. Go ahead and play this and I'll speak a blessing over you.
Contributing to Metron today? Is quick and easy. You can give anytime using any smartphone. Text the amount you'd like to donate to 404-620-5044.
I think we ought to make your picture into a Christmas card.
You will then receive a notification that you successfully completed your donation. You may also visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab to give there as well. When you contribute to Metron, you're also donating to the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment into Metron.
If you have a check, make it to JESM. And if you have cash, you might want to pay it forward. If you want to bless Jonah, they're going on a trip. So if you want to do that, they'd appreciate that. And he'll be back 2 weeks from today. Next Sunday is going to be a beautiful day. But Tuesday night is going to be awesome. And if you didn't get signed up in time, you've missed the deadline, but I know people. So talk to me. I might could hook you up. I do want to say, I don't want to give any credit, but there's a couple that did make a contribution to offset the cost of your ticket. And they're here today. I don't want to say anything about them because they don't like to be acknowledged. But he's on the front row and she just went to the restroom. So that's all I'm saying. I mean to rob them their blessing, but they went, so that's why it definitely keeps it cost, keeps everybody can come this way. But you didn't hear that from me. You don't know who that is. I didn't say any names. That could have been anybody. You know what? I don't have to speak a blessing over you. You're already blessed. I love you so much. I'll see you Tuesday night.